If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I'm happy. This next guest is going to rock the house. I'm looking forward to our chat. Today, I have Payeng Fredgill on the show, and she is a voice and movement teacher and an artist. Her teaching approaches the voice with an emphasis on slowing down and offering accessible and healthy vocal techniques for all styles of music.
Yes!
Ms. Fredgill's guides aspiring professional singers and songwriters to refocus on the joy and pleasure of singing rather than self-judgment. Payeng is a recipient of the Fellowship in Music Composition from New York Foundation for the Arts for her album, Potholes, to A Love and Other Short Stories. Payeng, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I got so excited. I already started making noise. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes, I am excited and elated to connect with you. Please share with us your journey up to this point.
Wow. Well, thanks. So, you know, I was sort of born into what I do, literally. My father is a composer and an instrumentalist. He plays saxophone and flute. My mother is a dancer and a choreographer. And I grew up on the Lower East Side of New York. And I grew up in this great community of artists. So from a very young age, I was around adults and I was constantly witnessing adults of all backgrounds really invested in play and creativity. And so I saw that that was really natural. And, you know, as a kid, that's what kids naturally do. But it was really cool to grow up seeing adults spending time and valuing their time that they put into their art. So I grew up around a lot of groundbreaking musicians and artists. I grew up around theater types like Intozaki Shange, who wrote for Colored Girls, who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. I grew up around Lori Carlos, who was in that first production. I grew up with the Urban Bushwomen, which is an African-American dance theater troupe based in New York. My mother danced with that group from their first founding company. So I grew up in this space of arts and the downtown music and art scene in New York. And when I was really young, I was writing music at a young age, making up lyrics, singing songs, because I love to sing. And then when I got to be about in middle school, I started singing with a band. And it was just some group of friends at the school I went to, and I loved singing and songwriting then. And it was just super playful, but everybody was really invested in it, you know? And so there was a thing in New York called the Battle of the Bands, mm-hmm. where kids would play other bands and then you could win a prize. And so in high school, you know, we actually won Battle of the Bands and won enough money to actually go into a recording studio. And we used the money to go into a recording studio and make our own demo. So at a young age, you know, when a lot of kids might not have had that kind of experience, I was performing in clubs that I was too young to actually officially be in. And I was writing my own original music and collaborating with other musicians to write that music. So I knew that I was passionate and wanted to be a singer and songwriter from a really early age. And then as I grew up, I went to college, I majored in music, And then I started to actually find a little bit more of a rub, because I found that the university level, music was being taught really geared more specifically using Western vocal traditions, primarily Western classical music, so European classical music, to apply that kind of technique to jazz, to R&B, to hip hop. And it just didn't make quite sense to me, because, you know, that's a very different sound when we hear classical European music and if we listen to R&B or soul, right?
Yeah. You know,
it's like very different kind of vocal sound. So I was starting to feel this conflict. And at the same time, when I was in college is when I actually decided to take a lot of movement classes. I started taking a lot of dance classes and a lot of African American studies classes, but I was a music major. So I graduated, sort of fast forward, and I started to get really into vocal technique. I found this wonderful voice teacher named Jeannie Lavetri, who teaches somatic voice work. I also trained in this method called the Alexander technique, which is a body-based re-education method to help get rid of excess unwanted tension in the body. And over time, I started to develop this synthesis of voice and movement in order to train the voice in a way that is really holistic. And it comes out of those two methods that I mentioned. Somatic voice work is a body-based vocal technique, and the Alexander technique is a movement awareness technique. So it's really been a process of kind of growing in myself as an artist, as well as things that I've trained in and putting that together. So I really, you know, I would say it's both my own experience as a performer. I've released 4 albums. You know, so I know what it's like to be out on stage and all the feelings that come with that, you know, and also I know what it's like to be in the studio and really just working on your own craft, developing your voice, sort of molding and trying to open and expand as a singer.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Like you said, you were born into this.
Yeah.
You were surrounded. Your environment shaped you.
Yes,
this is totally. This is the one time where you are a product of your environment, and it's okay.
That's right. I'm like, there have been times I've tried to move away from it, and I'm just like, art calls me, you know, at every turn it calls me. Yeah.
You know, well, what makes you so beautiful and so unique is you have an eye for beauty and for art, and you have an ear for it, and then you vocalize it. It's like, it's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
It's pretty awesome. And I want you to tell us about, you have a blog that talks about empowering artists. Tell us, what does that entail?
Yes. Thank you. So I didn't fully mention, but years ago, I have a 16-year-old daughter. And years ago, in 2004, I actually had the great opportunity to have a label, an independent label, invite me to put together a project. And so I released my first album when I was 26, I think it was. And the funny thing is that I released my first album and I had my first and only child in the same year, in the same month.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I realized at that time, even though everything kind of felt like a blur, that it really was, it required, that art required, that life requires an art. There's an art to like living life. And particularly becoming a parent made me start to recognize and value my own self-care and the ways that I was taking care of myself and the ways that I was neglecting myself. And, you know, oftentimes as artists, we're trained to kind of put our art before everything else. You know, if like you get an opportunity to perform somewhere, it's like, oh my God, like move everything out of the way. This is the chance I have. You know, people often neglect eating because they're in a creative flow. They neglect sleeping. And having a child, I really couldn't do that. I tried for a little bit of time, but I started to realize that it wasn't possible to burn the candle at both ends. And the blog, The Empowered Artist, is really my process of unraveling that and figuring out that valuing my own body and my own self-care and taking time for myself is actually going to make my art better. Mm. And that's often what I teach my students as well, because there's so many hosts of feelings and anxieties and, you know, uphills and downhills that will happen in your art. And so you have to be there to actually nurture yourself steadily through the process, the same way that you will in terms of just practicing your instrument, practicing your singing warm-ups. You also want to nurture yourself in other ways so that you can show up on stage fully, you know, taken care of, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And, you know, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? It's like, how do you show up in the world? What do you need to do prior to stepping on that stage, literally and
right.
metaphorically, right?
Yes, exactly.
You gotta do that self-care. And I love your notion of valuing yourself enough to recognize mm-hmm. that and actually give yourself, do what you need to do to prepare.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So tell us the difference between soul care versus self-care.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, self-care has become like this almost kind of like a trendy word, right? It's sort of like this catchphrase, and it can encompass obviously anything from yoga and exercise and fitness to meditation and eating healthy. And I think that that's all really valuable. Sometimes I think what happens though, when there's a word that becomes like a catchphrase, it can start to sometimes slightly lose its value and importance. It sometimes might sound a little trivial or surface. To me, soul care is about the things that like your heart yearns to do, right? And I believe that music fills that space for each and every one of us, even if people don't necessarily want to become professional performers, right? I understand that. But, you know, when you look at the history of just like humankind, everybody turns to music and dance throughout their life, right? We turn to music to celebrate new life, to celebrate love and weddings. We turn to music to mourn. We turn to music when we inaugurate new presidents. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's such a huge part of our existence. People use music to motivate themselves to exercise. So soul care to me is about really listening to what your heart needs and following that. And so the ways that I like to teach vocal technique, it's like, while I focus on technical skills, I also like to make sure that my students are valuing and listening to the intuitive messages that they're getting within while they're practicing their art, so that they can continue to do it in a way that feels authentic and true to them. So they're not doing like the shoulds, like I should perform at this place or I should make a new album. They're doing the things that they really want to do.
Yeah. The thing that make the heart sing, the soul sings, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's like when you listen to one of your favorite artists and the way that it just like makes your whole body feel good, right?
Yeah.
That to me is a certain kind of soul care in a way.
Yeah. And then you have to, that has to transcend in your product, in your song, in your body language, in your mood dancing.
Yes.
You have to convey that, and it's powerful when it's done right.
Right? It is. It is. And sometimes people, you know, sometimes people practice or learn how to sing or perform, as I like to call it, from the outside in. They're just doing, like copying the movements or copying sort of these things that look like what they're seeing on TV and shows and artists. And I feel like that's different than actually following like the way that you want to express yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's a slight difference, but I think when you can actually express yourself the way that you want to express yourself, the way that your heart is feeling, and then people can really connect with that, but it's also really vulnerable, you know? It's a vulnerable thing to do. So like you said, it's really powerful, but it's also like you have to be willing to put yourself in this very vulnerable position, which is why I think it's really important to have those soul care, that personal nurturing, because inevitably at some point along the way, most of my students will hit some place of anxiety and fear, right? Around expanding and opening their voices and expanding and being seen artistically.
And then that's where you come in to help them see through that and work through that. And what are some of the things you work with them on?
Yeah, so when I think about an empowered artist or an embodied artist, I really think about somebody who is training in their craft to build healthy vocal techniques. So that's doing regular warm-ups with me, you know, building a consistent schedule. So I love that this show is about your regular practice. You know, I'm very, very much into helping students to develop a consistent practice, because that way, when, you know, you're not feeling as good, or if you're feeling nervous, you already have this foundation that's just there to support you, you know. That's also tending to movement that you need to do to make your body feel good, setting time aside to make sure that you're doing the things that I was mentioning before, like eating regularly, eating healthy food, you know, making sure that in your personal life, your relationships are feeling good, because all those things are distracting, actually, when, you know, if they're out of balance and kind of chaotic, if your personal life or your emotions are sort of chaotic, that sort of starts to take somewhat away from your art in some ways. You know, it can kind of create some conflicts. So I like to look at the singer from a whole person, as a whole person, not just the singing voice, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, because you're an entity. Because how are you going to get the inspiration or the motivation? How are you going to be your best self if one area of your life is not functioning properly, or if you're malnourished, or if your relationship is falling apart? Well, you know what? We're emotional beings and emotional creatures, so it's going to show. It's going to come out in your work.
That's right. That's right. And so one of the things that I experienced, you know, I so admired so many of the musicians and artists that I grew up with. And I just started to realize, you know, when I was probably like in my late 20s-ish, probably when I was starting to train in the Alexander technique, I realized that there was some of the self-care and soul care that I felt like these artists that I knew didn't have the time or the resources, right, to actually take care of themselves in this way. And I realized that it was really important to me to help artists to actually make space for taking care of their health and their relationships, because I saw that that was sometimes missing for some of the artists that I grew up with. And I felt like it actually kind of impacted them sometimes negatively.
Yeah. And you know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk about the shape shifting and shedding skin that you wrote a song about not too long ago, actually, due to our current justice system right now and what's going on with the world. And so I wanted to hear it from you. Come and give us a little insight into what brought that on. And I know what you were saying when you got that idea, when the title came to you, you were shaking by it, but it has evolved. Mm. As you started writing, it became its own thing. And so please walk us through what that process has been like for you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I did. I had this title come to me, Shape Shifting and Shedding Skin. It was like, I heard it, I think like on a Monday, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to write about that. And I had this whole blues come to me that you're referring to, shedding skin. And I just heard the verses and I wrote them out. But the thing is, you know, we're in a really crazy time being in this pandemic, being in quarantine. And that in and of itself, I just over the past several months, I've been hearing so many people, and I know for myself, I feel like a lot of us are feeling this kind of transformation. And I pictured it like, especially in New York, because I live in Brooklyn, we're all in these apartments, and it's almost like we're all in these little apartment cocoons, and everybody's trapped in their little quarantine cocoons, right? And we're all kind of going through our own metamorphosis. But at the same time, currently with the political uprising and Black Lives Matter movement really being at a big roar, I feel like we're going through this global transformation and this global metamorphosis. And metamorphosis, I mean, you know, change is not it doesn't always feel good. I mean, even the term shedding skin doesn't sound so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, sounds painful.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is, right? You know, I think that there's so much that's going on right now that is devastating and it is really painful. And I have to, you know, for myself as a Black woman, I have to moderate and modulate how much I can take in from the news and social media. But at the same time, I also feel like it's really inspiring. And I feel like our ancestors are like, come on, like it is time. So, you know, I feel that, yeah, we're at this really inspiring moment in time where so many things are shedding and shifting and breaking. And we're creating, hopefully a new paradigm, you know, to live in where people are treated with respect and seen with respect and can live safely.
Yeah, that's well put. You know, lobsters, you know, they get bigger, but they have these shells that they grow out of and they have to shed it. They have to break free from it. So a new, bigger cell with more room can grow around them so they can grow within. And it's kind of like that, shedding the layers, the skin, so that we can grow, so that we have the room. It's painful, but the transformation is absolutely worth it. You think about snakes, right?
Snakes have been like so much on my mind lately. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and snake have to literally get out of their skin.
Right.
To grow a new one. But it is part of that transformation that you're referring to. It's part of that growth that needs to take place. And when you say there's a global shift, a global transformation, I feel it coming as well.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty amazing to see countries all over the world sort of standing in solidarity, right, with Black Lives Matter. So there's a big shift that's happening. And yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's ugly at times. It's painful. And it's also inspiring. And it's given us the opportunity, hopefully, to change policies, to change, you know, the ways that we treat one another and think about how we think about one another as well.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
Is all I can say, finally.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
I just love that this is your theme, you know. I do, because it's literally, Luni, this is something that I have thought about and I explore and play around with all the time. So it's like, oh my God, it's like a whole show, like based on something that I reflect on a lot. So, you know, there are two things that I really always keep. And, you know, it's funny. I think a lot of times when you go on vacation, I don't know if you have this, but I find when I go on vacation, that's really also when it becomes clear to me, what are the things that I never change? You know what I mean? Because even when I'm away in a new house with other people, et cetera, I realize there's certain things that I always stick to. And two of those things are, whenever I wake up, I always start by having a whole lot of water. Mm-hmm. So years ago, I worked with this functional nutritionist named Russell Mariani, who works with people working specifically to help them with their digestion. And he introduced me to this thing called the water cure recipe. And it's basically where you drink a certain amount of water. Usually it's around 8 cups, and you use a certain amount of high quality sea salt that you put in a little bit into your water. So you're getting the minerals and the electrolytes into your body. So usually every morning I have some water, and I will have anywhere from 2 to 4 to 6 cups of water before I have anything to eat. And this, you know, one of the things that I learned when I was working with him that always stayed with me was he reminded me, he said, you know, when you're sleeping, you wake up and your body is actually dehydrated, your system inside. So that's why you actually want to start by replenishing or rehydrating your system before you put any food or coffee or whatever into your body. And that just like, that visually stuck with me. I was like, right, that totally makes sense, because you've got 8 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours that no liquid is going in.
You're in a fasted state. You're fasting.
Right? You're fasting. So it's just too much to just be like, wake up and put some food in. I'm like, oh my God.
Or have coffee and dehydrate it some more.
Exactly. So, you know, that's been one of the things that I do. So sometimes I might drink a whole bottle and a half of water sometimes it's a cup of tea and a bottle of water, but I always start by drinking water. And then I usually come right into my studio and I'll pull out my yoga mat and I'll do some movement. So for me, you know, I've been doing yoga off and on since I was in high school, but over the past about 2 years, I decided to daily yoga challenge for myself. And it started out as like, oh, let me do like a 30 day. And then it was like, oh, let me do another 30 day. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it's been half a year. Oh, it's been a year. Oh, it's been 2 years, you know? So it's not that I necessarily do a whole hour and a half practice every day. It's that every day I get on my mat and I do some meditative movement. And for me, yoga is a meditation and a movement. So it helps my mind to clear out and I start to hear what are the things that I actually need to focus on that day. I've found that it makes me more flexible. You know, I'm 42. And so, you know, I didn't think that I would get more flexible, but I realized, oh, of course, if you actually do it every day, just like singing, you will get more flexible and build more strength. And so because I do that, sometimes I will also do sitting meditation, but depending on how I feel, sometimes the yoga, because it is a meditative practice, that will be enough for me. So the two things that I always do are having my water and doing my meditative movement practice. And then from there, I always also sing, of course. So I'm, you know, I'm always vocalizing and I always do it often in the morning. Sometimes I do it in the shower. Sometimes I do it after I've done my yoga practice. But those are pretty much the three things that are a regular, consistent part of my morning routine. And they help to clear my mind of lots of busy thinking. They help to prepare my body to be able to take in healthy food and, you know, not be all stuck and caught up, you know, from being dehydrated. So I just feel like the morning is such a nice, clear time. I really like creating in the morning. I like doing things like this, having interviews. You know, I love doing this kind of thing in the morning because that's when I feel the most clear-headed.
Yeah, you have all your willpower too in the morning.
Yes.
And if you start making small decisions like what to wear or what to eat, then you are draining your willpower. It's whittling away. The more decisions you make throughout the day, the less of it you have.
Right.
So it's imperative to utilize this time for what you currently do, the yoga, the meditation, and grounding yourself and having stimulating conversation or reading or consuming stimulating content, because this is the prime time to set yourself up because you're more observant, right? You're more able, you're more able to retain and keep what you are taking in into your senses. So early on in the day.
Yes.
You actually are the first person that talked about adding sea salt or to your water. I know water is imperative because every entrepreneur that come on here is hydration is key, is one of the first thing. And that's why it's in the app. My app actually launches today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a productivity app that gives you a more 9 actionable items you can do in the morning to hack your morning. And it's your morning routine. And the first thing is hydration. And for my hydration, I actually put a pinch of Himalayan salt.
Yes.
The night before for magnesium, minerals that we deprive ourselves of daily, but at night we lose a lot of due to toxins.
Yes.
Toxin buildup. And so the water helps release toxins. But when you replenish with magnesium, like a little bit of sea salt, you say sea salt, I use magnesium.
The Himalayan.
Himalayan.
Salt?
Yeah. I used to
think. Yes. Okay. Yep. My mom uses that too. I know.
And so it's imperative. And it's interesting to hear you. You're like the first guest that said that. Because I usually am informing guests about the minerals and the Himalayan salt. But you knew right off the bat.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it gotta hydrate first thing in the morning because our body is deprived of water and our brain is over 73% water. And so imagine going for so long without it. Brain fog. Hello.
Right.
There's just a big sign.
Totally.
This is why we get headaches. You know, we can't think clearly. It's because we're not hydrated. You need the lubrication.
Yes. So yes, I definitely experience the clarity of what, you know, when I feel myself kind of like, getting a little foggy, I go, okay, is it that I need to eat? And I go, let me have some water first, right? Mm-hmm. You know, let me just clear things up yeah, water always does the body good, I feel like.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I can imagine you have a majestic voice. Would it be too much to ask you to give us a little taste?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I didn't prepare anything for you. I don't have anything off the top of my head. I'm like, what could I sing you a little bit of? This is a good question. Look at you, stumped me, Luneed. I love it. Speaking of something from Head Full of Hair. Head Full of Hair. Got a head full of hair and a heart full of song. Nobody told me change could take so long. Got a head full of hair, they say. Ain't gonna let thoughts get in my way.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, that actually feels appropriate to right now, right?
And yeah.
Even what we're talking about.
That was beautiful. That was,
thank you.
That was majestic as I pictured. Wow. That is, thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh,
and now my listeners will have to go out and get your CDs because they just giving them a taste.
Yes, exactly. And you can, exactly. That would be great. Head Full of Hair is the most recent album. It's online. Yep.
What a soulful song. What a soulful voice. Wow.
Thank you.
Tell us, how can we connect with you?
So if you wanted to find some of my music, my recent album, Head Full of Hair, Heart Full of Song, is on Bandcamp, which is a wonderful platform for artists. You can look up Pying Threadgill, P-Y-E-N-G is my first name. It's wonderful because artists get a lot more of the proceeds, like a lot more of the money actually gets filtered to artists through platforms like Bandcamp and iTunes versus Spotify. Also, my website is pyingnyc, so that's pyengnyc.com. And so if anybody listening is interested in learning more about their voice, would like to learn more about voice lessons, you can contact me through my contact page and set up a free consultation call to discuss what that would look like. And you could also join my mailing list through my website. My website is actually, I'm in the midst of, and I'm sure you know what this is like as you were talking about launching a new app. I'm in the midst of renovating and updating my website. So a lot more of information about my teaching is going to be up there in about the next week. So I'm really excited to share that with people. And, but for now you can go to pyingnyc.com to learn more about voice and my music.
Man, you've heard it here first, Morning Enthusiast. This has been Pyang, and what a soul she is. What a soul. It has been a show filled with laughter and great singing. It's the first time someone sung on my show. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Oh, I love it.
I really appreciate your energy and your time this morning. Thank you so, so much for coming to the show today.
Thank you, Luneed. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Please keep going. I can't wait to tell my folks about your app.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.